topic of today. We have a guest in the studio.
Back again.
Zach, so,
will this come out before the
podcast? Oh, this will come out. This will be the first time.
Oh, so you're just here. You're here.
Oh. You've never done the TBH podcast. No. First timer.
I'm so glad to be here. Zach, I'm excited.
With Mountains Mullets America. I'm severely ADD, and I always mess it up. I'm like, have you seen America Mountains Mullets?
Is there like a dash in front of America, or is it just America?
No, it's just America.
America, son.
Triple M, 3M. Yeah.
Ooh.
I wanted to kind of roll off the tongue.
Yeah. Be sure and check out the full podcast. Well, actually, we're going to get
It'll be airing.
It'll be two of them?
Yeah, it'll be split into two parts.
Two full podcasts. We talk about the history of Zach. And guns and the, long range.
The deep, dark history you didn't know about. Mountains, Mullets, America.
Yeah.
All the questions I get. Yeah. It's fun.
So topic of the day, 12-minute talk, is...
long range shooting myths?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like what myths or incorrect factualities or things like common pervasive myths that exist kind of in long range hunting. I've always sensed it as like a very gatekeepy thing for his like not as much anymore, but like 10 years ago on the internet, it's like you have to go out and get this rifle built, like hand built by the elves, and I'm not going to tell you the name who does it, and it's going to be in this chamber you've never heard of. But now it seems like the information is actually getting out there. So anyway, I'm going to put 12 minutes on the clock and I'm going to shut up. And yeah, y'all go at it. Y'all just do your thing.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Before we like start diving down this road, what is your favorite one?
Favorite myth?
Yes.
I think my current favorite myth is that there's a right answer to the long range question. Right? You know, like
Pretty much, you have
to do this to shoot long range.
Yeah.
And I get that vibe a lot in my comments and my Instagram messages where, you know, what's my opinion on XYZ piece of gear or XYZ caliber?
Mm-hmm.
I want to shoot X distance. What should I get?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a right answer.
There's definitely not, although an argument could be had that there are certain tools that work better than others
for
certain
sure.
jobs.
100%.
But as a all-encompassing, there's not. Anybody that tells you, like, you have to have this. If anybody ever tells you you have to have 308 for long-range shooting, they're completely full of shit.
I would agree. Definitely there are tools that are better than others. But I would say if you currently own a rifle and you want to shoot long range, then give it a go with your current rifle.
That's like our biggest go-to in predator hunting. It's because it's same question sets. What caliber do I use? What rifle do I get? Yeah. All this other stuff. What do you have? Use that first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's whatever you're the most comfortable with. That's what you're going to be the most successful with starting out. I have to say my favorite one. I think my favorite one is anything surrounding optics.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't shoot long range with a second focal plane scope. Now, there are pros and cons to everything, and that could be its whole own podcast, optics for long range shooting.
Yeah, or the old 1X magnification per 100 yards.
Yes.
That's one I've heard for years.
Yes.
Yeah.
What, you ready? When I was in the Marines, we qualified at 600 meters on irons.
Iron sights. Yeah. Iron sights. This could be a whole can of freaking worms. But anything that's surrounding optics are my favorite list, too. Because sometimes there's some truth to them. Sometimes there may be a smidge truth to all of them.
Yep.
But a lot of people like just latch on to certain things. And one thing that's kind of getting pushed to the wayside, in my opinion, is you have to have insert X price on optics to shoot long range.
That's a very good point.
And that's a whole freaking can of worms because briefly getting into it, like optics have gotten so good for the price point.
Yep.
Apps now give you the ability, most apps, to accommodate any kind of discrepancies within your tracking and stuff like that. I'm not going to say I'm not that guy like C does, where it tends to hate expensive optics for some reason. I'm not going to tell you like you know, you can do anything you want for $300 scope nowadays, or $500, insert Arkin. I'm not going to say that, but I am going to say the Barry entry is much cheaper and much easier nowadays. Yep.
And you think about the old rule of thumb that was your optic needs to cost at least as much as your rifle. Yeah. You know, in many ways, I'm not sure that's as true now as it used to be.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to throw this open statement out there. That's no longer the case.
Yep.
There's, at a certain point in time, that was probably very credible because a couple of reasons. Your options for optics were nowhere near as plentiful as they are nowadays.
There's a handful of companies.
You basically either got kind of shit or you got really good quality. Rifles, also, at a certain point in time, I remember when I was a kid, like, factory ammo was kind of not that great. Factory ammo, kind of not that great. Like, it was just kind of subpar. Like, we're talking about lower cost budget. And if you wanted, like, this, the guys playing in the highest precision and accuracy games were, like, hand-loading, getting custom rifles built. They're buying the extremely high-dollar scopes, stuff like that. But nowadays, machining and everything else has changed so dramatically. That's just no longer the case.
Yep. No, you can get a quality piece of gear, a quality optic for very affordable, and in many cases, less than the cost of your rifle.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it just, you know, the same thing with the first focal plane versus second focal plane. Now, there are caveats. There's literally exceptions to every rule.
Yep.
But same thing with second focal plane. Can't shoot long range second focal plane. Well, what is it? Because that's going to matter. Like, it really doesn't matter what it is. You can still shoot long range. Now, at a certain point, it does become like, again, like if you're taking a 3-18 or you know, that's not even a good example, a 4-24 second focal plane, in order for your subtension to be correct, it has to be typically on Mike's power.
24 power.
And we discuss in the full podcast that 24 power is, I think we discussed that in the full podcast.
We did. Yeah, we did. We definitely did.
24 power isn't always the most ideal due to mirage. And then it turns into a math equation in order to run the second focal plane at a lesser power. But from my opinion, you get into your 2-10s, 3-12s. I'm going to push it all the way to 15. For myself, I'm not going to go any further. All those max power, your subtensions are correct.
It's very reasonable.
I do it. I've done it a million times. I have no problems with it. Like, especially the lower the power, 2-10. You know, 3-12, 2-12, whatever the case may be. Like, that's totally, completely relevant and doable.
When you think about the low end of those scopes in a first focal plane, it'd be a very small or fine reticle. Mm-hmm. So, the second focal plane does have value there for sure.
But, I mean, it's just, a lot of shit's changed.
Yep.
As far, and like I said, the biggest amount of myths for myself surround around optics.
I have one to pose, specifically for you, because it's kind of tailored to you. Is you can't use AR's for long range shooting.
Oh, that's a great. Yeah, that's a great.
Does that really still exist though?
Yes, 100%.
What the fuck is wrong with people? I mean,
big myth. Yeah,
yeah. I want to get into long range shooting. What bolt gun do I need to get? Because obviously, like my 18-inch AR is not going to be able to cut it.
Those are the same people that go, "What bolt action 308 do I need to get?"
Yeah.
to be fair, I think it is easier to shoot a bolt gun at long range.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it's easier to shoot a bolt gun, and many times you can get calibers and bolt guns that you can't get in the ARs.
Mm-hmm.
But ARs are very capable, and you know, I've got hits over 1,000 yards with a couple of mine. So
modern ballistics, modern projectiles, modern ammo.
Yep.
Modern. I feel like I just say this every podcast. Modern machining is fucking fantastic.
Quality control. Yeah,
it's fucking amazing. Yes. There are duds out there. Yes, you're going to get a shitty barrel in AR every once in a while, mm-hmm. especially in AR world. Like, there's so many fucking barrels.
When you
say
shitty, though, your threshold of shitty is probably below what a lot of people think their AR is even capable of.
Right.
Like, most people, they're happy with, like, a 2 MOA, 3 MOA with some, you know, M193 that they have. It seems to me, you know, 100 yards. Where, like, that's like, you're, like, not even in the realm of that.
I'd be mad about something like that. But I also know, like, what you're using it for. Like, those people ain't shooting long range. They're just magged up and in targets.
And I think a lot of folks would be shocked if they just took some quality, like, 77 grain ammo and put it in their rack grade AR, what it's actually capable of. I think they'd be very surprised.
Okay, so this is totally kind of off topic. But, okay, I don't think we actually talked about this. What... what measurement would you assign to a, what performance value would assign to a platform that you would say it's capable of shooting long range?
That's a great question. So my, the way I define that for myself is I want to be able to consistently shoot one MOA. If I can consistently shoot one MOA in the type of shooting that I do, which is practical type targets, maybe some of the PRS type competitions, I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do I always shoot one MOA? No. And that's right. Typically probably on me. There'll be a flyer. But you think about the bulk of the shooting that I do. Yeah. One MOA will get you where you want to go.
And, you know, that's all that's been long touted to be the barrier benchmark. To entry.
Yeah.
Benchmark. But, you know, I'm going to say the person who coined that mostly is probably Ryan Kleckner. Like that book. I've read it. I don't even remember the fucking
name. Long Range Handbook.
Yep.
It's right there. Like, he is speaking, going back down memory road, like talking about YouTube people who like really spawned on a new generation of shooters and information. Forgot to even bring up Ryan Kleckner.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I've watched.
Back in his YouTube video days and stuff like that, like a lot of information was gained through that. And he gained significant amounts of popularity through those videos and people getting into it. And it's fun to see how time rolls on and people getting, you know, new people coming into it and finding those videos and like his popularity surges again. But I would have to say, though, he's probably the person that I recall coining the phrase, like, stop with all the bullshit. As long as you can shoot one of them away, you can shoot long range, yep. Practical long range.
100%. There's so many variables that go into shooting one MOA consistently.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's tougher than you might think. But if you're able to consistently do that, you will make hits mm-hmm. at distance.
Yeah.
You know, so
what are we, I mean, optics that can be its own thing. Optic myths, barrier to entry.
Man,
talk about the rifle.
Well, I think the other piece of that is, a lot of times I get, comments around custom gear.
Mm-hmm.
And I've owned custom rifles in the past and they're awesome, but you can do a lot with factory gear now, factory ammo, factory rifles, you know, a nice scope. You can get into long range without the custom barrier that I feel like used to be there.
Right. Oh, it definitely, there's still those people out there that are, you know, you have to do this and you can't do that. Like, but the reality, I was about to say it, but I want to stop myself. The reality is, factory ammo has gotten a lot better. Now, is it gotten so good that it's just amazingly fantastic? We're talking about the lower cost factory ammo. Is it going to be amazingly fantastic groups at 1,000 yards? Probably not.
No.
But like IPSC size targets, you're going to be able to land target, land hits that, as long as your rifle and ammo combination performs at least one MOA, you're going to be able to land consistent hits out to range. Now, depending on the ammo and everything else, the range and all that stuff. But the barrier and entry, because of the advancements in equipment, optics, rifles, manufacturing.
You don't have to run out and have a reloading setup.
No,
you know,
absolutely. And hell, you know, like I was saying earlier, there was this massive surge in the reloading. And I think especially when COVID came around, the components dried up, the better the factory ammo gets and the more companies, kind of like us, like more boutique hand-loaded companies come on, because there's been quite a few getting counted down. The more of those come online, that's very fucking annoying.
That's so annoying.
So annoying. The more of those come online, the more people I feel like are getting back out of reloading. Because I think a lot of people got caught up in the lure of it. Like, basically, right before factory ammo started getting much better, people were really jumping into hand-loading because of the influx and popularity of it. And so basically, they're just like, oh, well, this fucking shit's good enough, so I'm just going to...
Yep. Man, I'd rather spend my time shooting than reloading.
And I think, okay...
For sure.
There's so many podcasts we could do, because that one right there, shooting instead of reloading,
would be the
whole thing. Which one's more important? But let's wrap this one up. We appreciate y'all watching. See you guys next time.